Shas Illuminated presents the following shiur by Rabbi Moshe Chaim Byron. Meseches Chagiga has been dedicated by Mr. and Mrs. Dovi Merenstein as a zchus for their children.
Chagiga Daf Yud Aleph. The Gemara on the bottom of Amud Beis is discussing that which the Mishnah says about Me'ilo, that it's from those that are Hironim Teluyim B'Sa'aro. And Ravashi explains that this is referring to the Mishnah in Me'ilo that says, Not al Evan o Kaira shall Hegdish Hareza loy Moal. The din is that if one takes an evan, a stone, or a beam of hegdish, then at the time that he takes it, he's not yet moil. However, when he gives it to his friend, then already the one who took it, he is moil. That, the Gemara says, is something which is difficult to understand. Michdi mishkal shokla mali hu mali chaveroi. If he's not moil at the time that he takes it, why is he moil when he gives it to his friend? In other words, the Gemara means to ask, if we see one can be Meil, even if he has not yet had any Hanah, just by taking it from Hegdish, he already has Me'ilah. So why is it that only if he gives it to his friend, he's Meil? Why is it that at the time he took it, he's not yet Meil? That, the Gemara says, is something which is Hararim Tuluyim B'Sa'ara. And that the Gemara continues and says, My Kushya, Dilma Kiddushmuel, Da'ama Shmuel, Hocha B'Gizbar, HaMesuris Loi Avni Bini Naskinon, we're referring to the Gizbar, someone who is responsible, the treasurer of Hegdish. He has all the avonim, all the material of Hegdish is by him. The property of Hegdish was always by him, and therefore by taking it he's not yet moil, but if he gives it to someone else, then already there is Me'ilah. Now there are two mahalchim to understand what the Gemara means over here, and this is very fundamental in the whole Meseches Me'ilah. The Mishnah Lamelech in Hilchos Me'ilah Perek Vav, Halacha Dalid, he's meirich about this, and he quotes Tosis in different places, and he says there are two mahalchim to understand what the Gemara means. Reb Kveger over there on that Rambam in Hilchos Me'ilah Perek Vav Halacha Dalet also, he brings these two mahalchim. And they say that Tosis in some places learns, in Menachos Daf Kuf Aleph, in Kedushin Daf Nun Hei, that the Pshat in the Gemara means that in order for one to be Meil, even though he has not yet had any Hanah, just by taking something away from Hegdish, Me'ilah of taking it out of the Rishus Hegdish, for that he has to know that this item is not his. He has to realize that he's taking this item from someone else's rishus into his rishus. Now we know that Me'ilah is always b'shayig, not b'mezid, so obviously we don't mean that he knows that this item belonged to Hegdish, but even if he thinks that this item belonged to someone else, and now he's taking it for himself, that's Me'ilah because he realizes that he's taking it from one rishus into a different rishus. And Tosfos in these places explain that when the Gemara says, Gizbar ha-mesuris lo'yavni bini naskinon, the Gemara means to say that since the Gizbar always has the property of Hegdish by him, he doesn't realize sometimes that this item is really not his. That's what the Gemara means to say. At the time he took this Chafetz, since obviously he did not know that it belonged to Hegdish, that would have been Mila b'mezid, then obviously he thought it was his, and therefore he had no Kavanah to take it from one Rishus into another Rishus, and therefore there's no Me'ilah. The only way there will be Me'ilah is if he used it for himself, he had enough from it, then he's Me'il, or if he gave it to someone else, he gave it to his friend, then he realized that he's taking it from one rishus into a different rishus. And even though he thinks he's taking it from his rishus and giving it to his friend, but that's also me'ilah. As long as he had kavana to transfer it from one rishus into a different rishus, and in the end we find out that it belonged to Hegdish, that's me'ilah. Tosfos in these places quotes a Tosefta that talks about a kardim shel Hegdish, a hatchet that belonged to Hegdish. And it says that if one person used it to chop wood with, and then another person also came along and used it, and so on. Each person is Meil. And we don't say that once the first person used it, it already left Rishus Hegdish, and only he is Meil. And Tosfos is bothered by, why is this so? Why don't we say that at the time the first person took it to use, he already is taking it away from Rishus Hegdish, he should be the only one who's Meil, the ones after him should not have Me'ilah. And Tosfos explains that we have to understand this Tosefta, that the case is that each person that used it thought that it was his. If he knew that it was not his, and he was taking it for himself, so he's Moil, he took the whole thing away from the Rishus Hegdish, and therefore the person who comes after him is not Moil. The first person already took it out of Rishus Hegdish. But if each person thought that it was his, so the only Mila that he has is equal to the Hanah that he had from it. No one took it out of the Rishus Hegdish because every person thought it was his. So in this case, it will continuously be Me'ilah. No matter how many people use it, everyone will be Moil. But once there's one person who realizes that it's not his, and he takes it for himself to use, even if he plans on giving it back afterwards, But just the fact that he took something which he knows is not his, he's mitzi et mirshus hekdesh, and even before he has anah, he already is moil. And Tosis does not mention that this far is dafka by a gizbar, rather it's by anyone who thinks that this chayfet was his. Tosis in Menachos Kufalaf as well, he discusses Er Sugya, he quotes our Gemara in Chagiga Daf Yud, and he says this same point, that when we say that there's a difference between a gizbar and someone else, what we really mean is that the gizbar thinks that this chayfet was his, and therefore at the time he takes it, he's not taking it out of the rishus of Hegdish. As opposed to someone else who realizes that this is not his, so he's moil just by taking it. So really there's actually nothing that's unique about the gizbar, it's just another way of saying that we mean someone who thinks that this chayfet is his. Tosis, however, in Bab Metzia Daf Tzadik Tesu Min Aleph, and Rabbi Krieger also says Tosis in Me'ila Daf Yutes, they understand differently. They understand what the Gemara says, that a gizbar is not moil unless he uses it, or unless he gives it over to someone else. The pshat is because this gizbar, since he has the authority on the possessions of Hegdish, even if he takes something of Hegdish for himself, let's not consider that it was transferred from one Rishos to another Rishos. And according to this, it makes no difference whether he realized that this Chavitz was not his. Either way, by taking something of Hegdish for himself, that's not considered Mi'ila, because he did not transfer it from one Rishos into a different Rishos. Only if he'll have enough from it, or he'll give it to someone else, then it will be Mi'ila. And basically it comes out that there'll be two nafkaminas between the Shitais of Tosfos. If you hold like Tosfos in Menachos and Kiddushin, that what it really depends on is whether he realized he's taking something from Rishos to Rishos. So even someone who's not a Gizbar, but if he thinks that this Chavitz is his, there will be no Mi'ila. As opposed to Tosfos in Bab Metzia and Mi'ila, since he's not a Gizbar, so taking something into his Rishos, which is really Hegdish, that is transferring it from Rishos to Rishos, and it will not depend on his kavanos, even though he thinks that it's his. Nevertheless, that's Me'ila, because Lemaisi took it from Rishos Hegdish into his own Rishos. And there'll be an opposite Nafkamino, if someone who is a Gizbar, but he takes a Chayfetz which belonged to Hegdish, and he thought that this Chayfetz belonged to his friend, so then according to Tosis in Menachos and Kiddushin, since here also, even though this person is a Gizbar, but he realizes he's taking from one Rishos into a different Rishos, so there will be Me'ila. As opposed to Tosis in Bab Metzia and Tosis in Me'ila, since Lamaisa he's a Gizbar, and his Rishos and Hegdish's Rishos are considered one and the same, so even though he thinks this Chayfetz belongs to his friend, he will not be Moil, because Lamaisa he did not take it out of Rishos Hegdish. He took it into his own Rishos, which is no different than Rishos Hegdish. Now the Siach Yitzchok in Er Sugyo, on Tosis Diver Maschel B'Gizbar HaMesuri Sloi, he points out that Tosis in Er Sugyo is much more like the Tzad, that Gizbar is unique because his Rishos is like the same as Rishos of Hegdish. Not that it's totally in the Kavana, whether he realizes he's taking something which is not his, rather it's totally in the fact that his Rishos is not considered independent from Rishos of Hegdish. Tosis asks Akash over here, when the Gemara says, B'Gizbar HaMesuri Sloi Avni Bini Naskinon, since he has the material of Hegdish in his Rishos, it's not considered Me'ila until he gives it away. Tosis asks, V'afilu L'mandama Shlichas Yad Ein Tzricha Chisern. The din is that if someone is a Shomer, he's watching someone else's possessions, and he goes and he takes the item for himself, in other words, he realizes that he's taking the other person's chayfetz, and he wants to steal it, even if he hasn't yet done anything to it, he already has the status of a gazlin. And Tosis is bothered by the same thing. This Gizbar, who's like the Shomer of Hegdish, even if he hasn't done anything to this chayfetz, but if he took it for himself, he already should be considered that he's moil. And on this, Tosis answered, Hachashani dekolhecha de'isa be'goza de'malko koi. As long as it's still in his rishos, it's considered still in the rishos of Hegdish. And Tosis doesn't say the pshat is because he didn't realize that it's not his. Tosis is mashmah that the reason why there's no Me'ila when the Gizbar takes something of Hegdish is like Tosis in Bab Metzia and Tosis in Me'ila, that as long as it's in his Rishos, it's still considered in the Rishos of Hegdish. And therefore, even if he would realize that this is not his Chayfetz, still, as long as it's by him, it's still considered in Hegdish's Rishos, and he's not Moyo. But Al-Koponim, this is an important Yisrael to know that there are two Mahalchim to understand what is Gizbar different than everyone else. Is the pshat because he thinks that the chayfetz is his, or is the pshat because his rishos is considered like the rishos of Hegdish? Now further down the Omer, the Gemara says that avodos, which is listed in the Mishnah, from those things that are yesh mehem amal lismaych, and the Gemara asks, michton ksivi, it's mefurish, all the avodos are mefurish in the pasuk. And the Gemara answers, lo nitzucha ela lo hilochas hadam, the avodah of hilocha, that's not mefurish in the pasuk. The Gemara brings the braisa that says, v'ekrivu, the pasuk v'ekrivu bnei aron hakohenim es hadam, And the Gemara says, that's not really halacha, that's Kabbalah. So where does the Torah say anything about the avodah of halacha? And that the Gemara says, afka rachmana b'loshon halacha. When the Torah talks about Kabbalah, he uses a lashon which sounds like halacha. Like the word hikriv in other places means halacha. Halacha seivarim lekevesh. Here, when the Torah is talking about the dam, it uses the lashon of hikriv, even though it really means Kabbalah, to show us that halacha also is an avodah. Like Rashi explains, the avodah of halacha, even though really it's not as choshev as other avodahs, it's possible to be mevatel this avodah. One can theoretically shecht the carbon right next to the mizbeach and be able to be zerik the dam without doing any halacha. But when halacha is done, it has the status of an avodah, and it has all the dinim, like Rashi says, that a machsheves pigel that's done b'shas l'halacha will pass through the carbon, and it needs a kayin, it needs bigdei kahuna, it has all the psulim of avodah. This is all learned from afka rachmana b'loshon halacha. This is what the Mishnah means, yesh mehem amal lismoich, that the avodah of halacha has what to be samechon. Now, how do we know that this pasuk, ve'ekrivu b'nei aaron akayinim es adam, is referring to Kabbalah and not halacha? So Rashi says, "Ve'krivu ze kabbalah sadam." Afal pishu loshon haylocha. Even though the loshon sounds more like haylocha, still ain't ela kabbalah. It doesn't mean haylocha; it means kabbalah. Why? Shaharei la'achar shchita nichtava. Ve'ain haylocha elam ken kibul hadam. This loshon of ve'krivu bnei Aaron akayinim es hadam is said right after the pasuk says shchita. And what's done after shchita? It's not haylocha. First kabbalah has to be done. So obviously ve'krivu has to mean kabbalah and not haylocha. Tosis, however, in Dibur Maschal Ve'ekrivu, he asks a kasha on Rashi, that if we look at this pasuk where it says Ve'ekrivu, immediately afterwards it says Ve'zorku es adam al mizbeach. Right after this Ekrivu, the avodah of Zrika is done. And according to Rashi, if the whole raya that Ekrivu means Kabbalah and not Halacha is because it's immediately after Shchita, maybe we should say the opposite. Since Ve'ekrivu is immediately before Zrika, that should prove that it's Halacha and not Kabbalah. In other words, the pasuk first says shchita, then ve'ekrivu, then zrika. How do we know that hakrova has to be kabbalah as opposed to halacha because it's after shchita? Say the opposite. Hakrova has to be halacha because it's right before zrika, as opposed to kabbalah, which is not immediately before zrika. And secondly, Tosis asks, the Gemara in Zvachim Daf Yud Gimel, the Gemara says ve'ekrivu is kabbalah, and the Gemara continues, maybe we should say ve'ekrivu is zrika. That the Gemara says it can't be because it says afterwards mefurish v'zorku es adam. It must mean that Ve'ekrivu is Kabbalah. And if, like Rashi says, Ve'ekrivu is something which immediately follows Shchita, that's how we know that it's Kabbalah as opposed to Halacha, let the Gemara say the same thing, that it can't be Zrika, it has to be something which immediately follows Shchita. From there we see now, like Rashi, that Ve'ekrivu is not necessarily the Avodah which immediately follows Shchita. And therefore the Gemara had a Havmina that Ve'ekrivu should be Zrika. And because of these kashas, Tosis has a different pshat. He says the Gemara knew that Ve'ekrivu is not referring to Halacha, rather it's referring to Kabbalah, because a Halacha is an Avodah which is Efshar L'Vatla. It's not an Avodah Chashuva. Like Rashi himself mentioned this Svara, that it's possible to Shecht right next to the Mizbeach, and in that case we will not require any Halacha Bechlal. And Tosis understands that this is how the Gemara knew that Ve'ekrivu is not referring to Halacha, rather to Kabbalah. Derech Agav, a side point, the Lashon of Tosfos here at the end of the Ramaschal Ve'ekrivu, he says that Yochel Lishchet B'Roshei Shal Mizbeach. Tosfos in other places where he says the similar Svara in Numadav Chav Zayin, there he does not say B'Roshei Shal Mizbeach, he says B'Tzar Shal Mizbeach, which is what Rashi says here as well, that one can check next to the Mizbeach. Tosfos L'Chara seems to be a bit difficult. The Gemara in Zvachim, the beginning of the sixth parak, says that L'Chatchila one should definitely not check on top of the Mizbeach. Now the Siach Yitzchak over here, he gives a teretz for Rashi to answer the main kasha, the kasha that Tosfos asks over here and in other places. How could Rashi say that the Raya of the Gemara, that Ve'ekrivu is referring to Kabbalah and not Halacha, is because it's right after Shchita? Maybe we should say the opposite. Ve'ekrivu is said right before Zrika. And the Siach Yitzchak says that really, Rashi also is based on this Svara, that the Avodah of Halacha is not an Avodah Chashuva because it's Efshar L'Vatla. Just Rashi held that that svara alone is not enough to prove that Ve'ekrivu cannot refer to Halacha. Halacha is still an Avodah, and usually this Avodah is done. It wouldn't be difficult to say that the Torah mentioned such an Avodah. But rather Rashi holds that Bishlama, if Ve'ekrivu is referring to Kabbalah, then the Torah says the Avodah of Shchita and the Avodah of Kabbalah, and then the Torah says afterwards Zrika. Even though the Torah skips Halacha, that's not so schwer, because L'maisa Halacha is not an Avodah which always has to be done. However, if we would have said the other way around, we would have said Ve'ekrivu is referring to Halacha, then it definitely would be shver. Why did the Torah say shchita and then halacha and then zrika? Why did the Torah skip Kabbalah? Kabbalah is an avodah which always has to be done. That's not something which would have been skipped. So Rashi also is based on this svar of Tosfos, but he holds that this svar alone is not enough. But we could use this svar to explain that if the Torah would skip halacha, that would not be shver. As opposed to if the Torah would skip Kabbalah, it would be shver. And therefore we have to say that the Hikrivu is referring to the Kabbalah and not the halacha. Now further down, the Gemara says that Tahiris is also something which is Geish al Malismoich. And again, the Gemara asks, Mech don Ksivi, it's Mefurish in the Pasuk. And the Gemara says, Leinitzucha el l'shir mikvah. The din that a mikvah has to be 40 saw, that's something which is Geish al Malismoich, but not Mefurish in the Pasuk. And where do we learn it out from? The Braisa says, from the Pasuk, V'rochatz v'mayim es kol besaroi, from b'mayim we learn mei mikvah, and from kol besaroi, we learn mayim shekol gufoi oyla behem, v'kamahin amma al amma berum sholish amois. A mikvah has to be one amma by one amma, and three amois deep. V'shiru chachamim mei mikvah barboim sa. The Chacham said this comes out to be 40 sa. Now the Turi Evan discusses what exactly is this drosha that we're learning from the Pasuk. What would we have thought without this drasha, and what was this drasha mechadish to us? And he begins by saying that if the Pasuk would have just said V'rochatz b'mayim es besaroi and not kol besaroi, you would have known that this person who's tamei has to be tovel his entire body in the mikvah. Besaroi would surely mean all of the basar. Why would you have thought that it means only chelik of the basar? So already from the word besaroi we know that his whole body has to go into the mikvah. However, you would have thought that he doesn't have to be toivel the entire body at the same time. He could do Eivor. As long as all of his Eivorim were immersed in the mikvah, even if it was not simultaneously, that would also be a good tefillah. Now that the Pasuk says, V'rochat es kol besaroi, that tells us that all of his guf has to be in the mikvah at the same time. That's what the Braisa comes and tells us, that once we know that din, that his whole body has to be in the mikvah at the same time, now already we know the shear of the mikvah. Since a person's guf is amal amo, mirum sholish amois, then that's the minimum size mikvah, because only then he's able to be toivel his whole body at the same time. However, the Turi Evan asks a number of kashas on this mahalach, and lemais in the end he's chayzer, he says a different pshat, and he says that really in the Teres Kainim there's another drasha on the pasuk in Parshas Emor. It's talking about a person who became tamei from a sheretz, and it says v'lo yoicham min hakodshim ki imrochatz besorei b'mayim. And then the next pasuk says, "Ubo Hashemesh v'toher v'achar yoicha min hakodshim." And the Torah's kainim darshins v'rochatz besorei b'mayim yochol yirchatz eiver. One might think that he could do one eiver at a time. Tamuloymer, the next pasuk says, "Ubo Hashemesh v'toher ma bi'es shemesh kulei ka'achas afrochitzas gufay kulei ka'achas." Just like the entire sun sets at one time, so too the person's entire guf has to go into the mikveh at the same time, and he cannot be toivel l'lichatzoyin. So the Turi Evan continues, if we know this already from that drasha and Teres Kainim, what was Neschadish over here in this Braisa? What are we learning from this pasuk of Verochatz B'mayim Esko Besaroi? And he explains that without the drasha in Er Sugya, one would have thought that the size of the mikvah is dependent on the size of the person who is being tovel. Each person has to make sure to be tovel in a mikvah which his entire body could be immersed simultaneously. But not that there's one standard shear for all mikvahs. Our Braisa learns from the Pasuk V'rochatz es kol besaroi b'mayim, from the extra word of kol besaroi, we learn that there's a standard size for a mikvah. The size is based on a guf beinoni, the Turi Evan says, an average-sized person. And therefore, even a person who's very small, if he's not toivel in this mikvah of 40 saw, his tefillah is not good. This is the din that's neschadish in the Braisa, and this is what the Mishnah means, that this din has what to be seimechon, but it's not mefurish in the Pasuk. And the Turi Evan adds that according to this we could explain that really there are a lot of places that Chazal gave a shear for something which is not mefurish in the Torah. In order for something to become tomei tumas medris, it has to be roi for medris, it has to be roi to sit on, and the Chazal gave a shear that the minimum size for something to be able to sit on it is gimel tfachim by gimel tfachim. That's something which is hinted to in the Torah, but the Chazal gave a shear. Also, the minimum size for something to be mitamet tumas oichlin is hinted in the pasuk mikol ha'oichel asher yeyochel, the amount of food which a person could fit in his throat at one time. And Chazal said that's the size of a beitza, and so on and so forth. There are many examples where Chazal gave a shear for something in the Torah. And nevertheless, all these examples are not quoted in the Mishnah. And the Torah even explains that all of these cases, we would not use a lashon of yesh al mal lismoich. This is really considered mefurish in the Torah. If the Torah gives us the guidelines for the shear, and Chazal just did the measuring, and they told us how many units this shear is, that's not something which we would call yesh amal lismeich. That's called mefurish min haTorah. Only over here by mikvah, here the Torah said the mikvah has to be a size that the entire person's guf could fit in. We still would have said that it depends on each and every individual. Here's where the Mishnah told us that there's a remez in the Torah that the din is differently, yesh amal lismeich, that really it's not dependent on each person, because we learn from this drasha that there's one standard shear. For every person, the mikveh has to be the size that a person who's a beinoni could fit into the mikveh. Now the Turi Evan, in a different piece, he adds that obviously if a person is a godol, he's very tall, and he does not fit in this mikveh, so he'll obviously have to have a bigger mikveh. When we say the mikveh has to be gimel amos, and one amma by one amma, which is 40 saw, that's the minimum size shear of a mikveh. But a person who does not fit in that mikvah, enechnami, he'll have to have a bigger mikvah, because his entire body has to fit bebas achas into the mikvah. And because of this, he asks Akasha, the Mishnah in Maseches Kelim Perek Yud Zayin lists a number of dinim which are all subjective. They're all dependent on the person's size. For example, a koimitz of a mincha, the Mishnah says there's no specific shear. Each kain, however big his handful is, that's the size of his koimitz. Or chafinus aktiris, the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur has to take a molei chofnov, he has to take tyres, the size of his two handfuls, into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and that's also dependent on the size of that individual Kohen Gadol. Also the din of molei lugmav by Yom Kippur, if a person drinks a molei lugmav on Yom Kippur, he's chayiv, it's also dependent on that individual person. And the Turi Evan asks, why doesn't the Mishnah also say the size of a mikvah? It's also dependent on a person. If he's a bigger person, he needs a bigger mikvah. And the Turi Evan answers that all the other examples that are listed in the Mishnah, they have no shear bechlal, not lamala and not lamata. In other words, there's no minimum and no maximum, it's solely dependent on the size of the person. As opposed to a mikvah, even though there's no maximum, if a person is very big, he needs a very big mikvah, but there is a minimum. If a person is very small, he nevertheless has to be toivel in the mikvah the size of memsa. That's why this din is not listed in the Mishnah. However, on the bottom of the Turi Evan, in the Hagois Imre Baruch, he says an important yisoid to answer this kasha of the Turi Evan differently. He says, based on a Tshuvas HaRashba, who says a chiddush, that if there's a mikvah that's not one by one and three amos deep, rather the mikvah has a very wide area, so the only way he'll be able to be toivel is if he'll lie down in the mikvah, and if it's so spread out, the water, that even by lying down, he will not be able to fit his entire body in the mikvah at once. So obviously the mikvah is going to have to be deeper. It's going to have more than mem saw, because he has to fit his entire body into the mikvah at once. And the Rashba is mechadesh that in this case, when the mikvah already has 40 saw, and he has to add water because the shape of the mikvah requires that he add water in order that he fits his body in at once, then the water that he adds does not have to be mei geshamim. It can even be mayim she'uvim. He explains that since really this mikvah is kosher, it has enough water to make it kosher, the only reason you have to add more water is because practically speaking, he won't be able to put his whole body in, then the extra water that he adds does not have to be mei geshamim. And based on this, the Imre Baruch wants to be mechadish further, that the same is true if a person is a big person, and he does not fit his entire body into the mikvah of mem saw, he has to add more water, then the extra water that he adds also does not have to be mei geshamim. Since be'etzem, this mikveh in theory is a kosher mikveh. It's big enough to make it kosher. The only reason he has to add more is because his specific body cannot fit into this mikveh. Then the extra water could even be mayim she'uvim. And based on this, Imre Baruch says that we can answer the kasha why this din does not belong in the Mishnah and Kelim, because really the shear of a mikveh is objective. It's not subjective. The shear of a mikvah is memsa, no matter who's being toivel in it. And even though if a big person wants to be toivel, he's going to have to add more water, but since we see that that water that he adds could even be mayim she'uvim, then obviously the extra water is not being machshor the mikvah for him. He's just making it practically possible for him to fit in it. That's not called that he's being machshor the mikvah, and therefore we cannot say that this is something which has a different shear for different people. Now at the bottom of the Omer, the Gemara discusses the shear for a sheretz to be metame, and the Gemara mentions one of the shrotzim which was called the chaymet. Rashi over here describes what exactly is the chaymet, and although this Rashi may not seem so significant, but we'll see that this is negeya of shayla halacha lemaisa. Rashi says the chaymet is a min sheretz shekirim limgo, and he describes how this sheretz grows. It grows inside a shell, And he describes it as curling up in a circle, and this is what we know as a snail. Now if we take a look at the Tosfos Rid over here on Chagiga, he asks a kasha on Rashi. He quotes this Rashi here, as well as another Rashi in Mayit Katan, Davav and Medbeiz. Rashi over there also describes what's called a Shablul over there in the Gemara, and he calls it also a Limga, and he describes it exactly how our snail looks like. He describes it as something which, as it crawls, it leaves a trail of moisture behind it. And the Tosfos Rid asks that how could Rashi describe a chaymet as a snail? He says the Gemara in Shabbos says that the Shmeina Shrotzim, which are mentioned in the Torah, if one traps them on Shabbos, he's over on the Malacha of Tzedah. And since one of the Shrotzim is this chaymet, the way Rashi describes it, it's a snail, how could we possibly say that one is over on the Malacha of Tzad if he traps a snail? The Tosfos Rid says that a snail is something which needs no trapping, it doesn't run away from you, it barely moves, he says, and therefore if one picks one up, that's definitely not described as trapping. That definitely would not be the Malacha of Tzedah. And because of this, he says that Chaymet al-Korchach means something else, and it's not a snail. An additional kasha he asks is that the Gemara says that the Shmeina Shrotzim have oir, they have skin. And the snail, as we know, doesn't have skin, it has a shell. Now how is this machlokes negei halacha lemaisa? In the Sefer Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa, in the first chelek, Perek Chav Zayin, Ha'ara Kuf Mem Hei, he quotes B'Shem Reb Shlomo Zalman Orbach, that if one picks up an ant, or he picks up a turtle, or any animal which moves very slowly, he's not over on the Malacha of Tzedah. Perhaps it's a problem of Mukta, but the Malacha of Tzedah is not on something which moves so slowly, that's not considered trapping. And he differentiates over there between an animal which usually moves fast, and is now sick, or has a broken leg, the din is that over there it is considered Tzedah Midrabanan. However, over there, since this min usually moves faster than Midrabanan, it's usher to trap it, because one might come to trap it when it's healthy. However, a type of min, a type of species that never moves fast, like an ant or a turtle, there surely is no malach of Tzedah, even Midrabanan. Now, in the Sefer that Reb Shlomo Zalman wrote, what's known as Chelek Gimel of Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa, the Tikkunim, the Ha'aras that he wrote on the Shmir Shabbos, he defends this Chiddush and he quotes the Tosfos Rid in Ner Sugya. You see from the Tosfos Rid's Kasha on Rashi that the Chaymet cannot possibly be a snail because there's Isser Tzedah on the Chaymet. The Tosfos Rid is Mavur like this, that in type of species that moves so slow, there's no Isser Tzedah on it. And Rosh Hashanah Zalman continues and he says that even though one of the Shmeina Shrotim that's mentioned in the Torah is the Tzav, he says, obviously, what we call tzav, bizman hazeh, in Hebrew, the turtle, is not the same thing that the Torah is referring to as tzav. Because again, the Shmeina Shrotzim all have an iser of tzedah, and tzav, the turtle, surely has no iser tzedah, according to this Tosfos Rid. Now, with that, Rashi, the Chayr will have to say that Rashi holds that even though the Gemara says that the Shmeina Shrotzim have an iser tzedah, Rashi will hold perhaps it's lav dafka, all of them. Or maybe Eirech Nami will have to be mechadish that Rashi argues on this Tosfos Rid, and Rashi holds that the Isser of Tzedah is true even by an animal which moves very slowly. And in the Sefer Orchei Shabbos, Perek Yud Dalit, Ha'ara Chof Aleph, he quotes B'Shem Rabbeinu Yerucham, who actually holds like this, that even something which moves very slowly has an Isser Tzedah, and perhaps Rashi over here held like that as well. Over there he paskins L'maisa, B'Shem Rabbi Yashiv Zitzal, that there is an Isser Tzedah even on something which moves very slowly. But Al-Kopanim was negated to Er Sugyo, it could be that the Machoikis Rashi and the Tosfos Rid in Er Sugyo, what exactly a Chaymet is dependent on this Shaila, whether it's an Isser Tzedah or not, on something which moves very slowly. And one final point, very briefly, Tosfos over here in Dibur Maschil, Berum Gimel Amos, he says that even though the Gemara over here is Mashma, that the height of a person is Gimel Amos, really the truth is that Gimel Amos is only the height, not including the person's head. And Tosfos says, that which we say, that the mikveh has to be 3 amos high, and Echnamni, he has to bend his head, so that his head also fits in. Tosfos in Pesachim says a bit different, that once the person goes into the mikveh, then the water rises, and it covers his head as well. But Al-Kapanim, this is the shita of Tosfos, that the average person's height, when we say that it's Gimel Amos, that is not including the head. Tosfos brings a few rayas to this. Tosfos in Shabbos also brings a different raya. An interesting raya Tosfos over here brings from the Targum in Megillas Esther. The Targum makes a calculation exactly how the sons of Haman and Haman himself were hung on the eighth that was 50 amos. And we see from the Targum that each person was counted as taking up the space of 3 amos. And Tosfos over here understood that the sons of Haman were already beheaded at the time they were hung. That will be a raya that the height of a person without the head is 3 amos. Agapanim, this is the Shita of Taisus in a number of places. Other Rishonim, on the other hand, argue, the Ramban and the Rashba in Baba Basra, Daf Kuf, and Midbeis, they say the height of a person is 3 amos, including the head. And there's an interesting discussion in the Sefer Sheyuran Shel Torah from the Stipler, Simin Dalid, where he makes a calculation about the size of an amo, and he has an arichos to say that l'chera, we can determine the size of an amo based on this Gemara that says that the average person's height is 3 amos. However, it will be dependent on this machlokes rishonim, does 3 amos mean including the person's head or without the person's head? And he says, assuming that the average person's height is 1.70 meters, which is 5 feet and 7 inches, then it should come out that according to the Shita of Tosfos, an amo should be about 48 centimeters, and according to the Shita of the Rishonim, it should be about 57 centimeters. One can take a look over there in the Sefer Shiurim Shel Torah, Simen Dalid, there's an interesting discussion about this topic.
The Mishnah in the beginning of the second parak in Chagiga begins with the halacha Ein Darshin Ba'arayis Bishloisha. And the Gemara searches for a tam for this halacha. So the Gemara suggests that the tam is from a pasuk that says, Ish ish el kol she'er besaroi, loy sikrivu legalois erva. And the Gemara explains, Ish ish, that it says ish twice, that's trei, that's two people. El kol she'er besaroi, that's a third person. And on these three people it says, Loy sikrivu legalois erva. Do not come close to be megala in yonei arayis. Hence the halacha, Ein darshin ba'arayis b'shloisha. And the Gemara asks on this, that if so, that we're going to darshin, that ish ish is two, we should find that that's the case by other psukim that also say ish ish. And the Gemara brings, Elomeyato dichsiv ish ish ki yikala lelekov, by Birchas Hashem. Or ish ish asher yitein mizaroi lamoylech, by the Isser of being Ma'avir, one's son, by the Avodah Zorah of the Melech. Hachanami, over there also do we find any kind of drasha that ish ish is trei? So the Gemara says no. Those psukim of Birchas Hashem and being Ma'avir Mizaroi LaMelech, the ish ish is needed for a different drasha. Elahanhu miboyele l'rabboi says hanochrim shemuzhorin al birchas Hashem v'al avodah zorah ki Yisrael. Those added words are needed to be marbe goyim, that they too are included in the azhara, just like yidden are. As we know, there are sheva mitzvahs b'nei noyach, and birchas Hashem and avodah zorah are two of the sheva mitzvahs b'nei noyach. And the Gemara continues, so if so, Arayis is also one of the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noach. So, Hai Nami Mi Boyalei, L'Rabbi says Hanochrim, Shemuzharam Alho Arayis Ki Yisrael. Let's suggest that the Ish Ish El Kol She'er B'Saroi that says by Arayis is also to be Mar B'Nochrim, as we know that Nochrim too are Muzhar on Arayis Ki Yisrael. Arayis is also one of the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noach. And the MS is that this whole Gemara is a Pella. Because there's a Gemara in Sanhedrin on Daf Nun Vav Amud Beis that darshins a pasuk in Parshas Bereishis to learn all of the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noach. The pasuk in Parshas Bereishis Perek Tes, pasuk Tezayin says, Vayitzav Hashem Elohim al ha'odam leimor, mikoil eitz hagon ochoil toichel. And the Gemara in Sanhedrin uses different words in this pasuk to refer to different mitzvahs shenitztavu bohem b'nei noach, that the b'nei noach are mitzvah in. And the Gemara says, Hashem, zu birchas Hashem. Elohim, zu avodas kechovim. Leimor, zu giloy aroyos. So these three drushes that are mentioned in our Gemara, birchas Hashem, avodah zorah, and arayas, that we're finding ribuyim from the extra words ish in each of these psukim to be marbe goyim is completely unnecessary, because the pasuk in Parshas Bereishis of Ayetzav Hashem Elokim al ha'odam is already marbe these isurim. So what would be the purpose of these extra ribuyim to be marbe goyim? The Turei Evin in our Gemara points out that the MS is that the kasha that we're asking is really only shver on the limud to be marbe goyim for avodah zarah. And the reason for this is because the drasha of Ish Ish to be marbe goyim for Birchas Hashem, and the drasha of Ish Ish to be marbe goyim for Arayis, is brought in the Gemara in Sanhedrin. And the Gemara asks why you need these extra limudim if we already have the pasuk of Ayitzav Hashem Elokim al Ha'odom. And for each one of these halachas, the Gemara explains the need for an extra drasha. For Birchas Hashem, the Gemara says, even though we already know from Vayitzav Hashem Elokim al Ha'odom that Goyim are Chayiv and Goyim are obligated in Birchas Hashem, but we need the extra pasuk of Ish Ish to tell me that even on Kinuyim of the Shem Hashem, Goyim are Chayiv. And for the Ish Ish by Arayis, also the Gemara says that even though we already know from the pasuk of Vayitzav Hashem Elokim al Ha'odom that Goyim are mitzuvah on Arayis, we still need the extra drasha of Ish Ish to include in Yonei Arayis that exist by Yidden and not by Goyim. For example, a Naira HaMa'irasa, that Goyim are chayiv on a Naira HaMa'irasa as well. However, we do not find a Gemara that explains the purpose of a new drasha, Ish Ish, asher yitein mizarei lamoylech, to be mechayiv Goyim, in Inyanei Avodah Zarah, when we already have the pasuk of Ayetzav Hashem Aleikim al Ha'odom to be Mechayiv Goyim in that one of the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noach of Avodah Zarah. Now, in order to understand the Turei Evan's Teres to this difficult Kasha, we need to look a little bit more deeply at this pasuk of Ish Ish Asher Yitein Mizaroi Lamoylech. The Gemara in Sanhedrin, on Daf Samach Dalet Omer Aleph, brings a machloikis tanoim if moilech was really an avodah zarah at all. The one shita's tanoim is that moilech is a type of avodah zarah, as we find many types of avodah zarah. And another shita brought in the Gemara is that moilech was a choik, an inyan of kishuf that Goyim did, but it was not an avodah zarah. Now, what's the difference if Moilech is an Avodah Zarah or not? Either way, it's a Chi of Misa that's mentioned in the Torah. In order to understand the Nafkamina, if the Avodah of Moilech was an Avodah Zarah or not, we need to review an important klal in the Halachas of Avodah Zarah. In the Halachas of Avodah Zarah, we know that there are two types of Avodah Zarah. There's what's called Kedarka and what's called Shaloi Kedarka. Kedarka means any type of worship of an Avodah Zarah that's normal and usual for that type of Avodah Zarah. That is the tzura, the type of worship that is done for that Avodah Zarah. That's called Kedarka. Shaloi Kedarka is when one worships an Avodah Zarah in a way that's not its Avodah. It's not the way this Avodah Zarah was worshipped. And the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Daf Samach Amud Aleph, explains that there are certain avodos that one is chayiv even if he does them to an avodah zarah, that this is not the derech of the avodah of that avodah zarah. And those avodos are zivuach, nisuch, haktorah, v'hishtachavoya. Zivuach is bringing a carbon, nisuch is any kind of nisuch hayayin, haktorah is a type of a ketores, and hishtachavoya is bowing. These types of avoida, even if it is not the avoida of this particular avoida zara, they're generic forms of avoida zara, and they're chayiv, no matter what type of avoida zara one performs one of these four avoidas in front of. So now, let's look back at our case of Moilech. Moilech, we said, the Gemara brings a machloikis, if Moilech was indeed an Avodah Zarah. So now we can say with clarity that if Moilech is an Avodah Zarah, then even if one does Zivuach, Nisuch, Haktorah, and Ishtachavoya, they would be Chayiv. Because even if that's not the Avodah of Moilech, but it's still the type of avodah that's called shaloi kedarka, which one is chayev by every kind of avodah zara. However, that's only if moilech is an avodah zara. if Moilech isn't an Avodah Zarah, that even if one were to do Zivuach, Nisuch, Haktora, or Heshtach Avoya, one wouldn't be Chayev because it's not an Avodah Zarah. This is one nafkamina, whether or not Moilech is an Avodah Zarah. However, from the Gemara we see a different nafkamina. The Gemara brings a braisa that discusses an interesting case. What happens if a person does this avoida of Moilech, being Ma'avir Benoi, passing his son along over the fire in the way that's described in the Gemara, but it's not for the Moilech, he does that for another avoida zara. Is he chayiv or not? And the Gemara brings a Tosefta that brings a Machloikis. The Tanakama says, Echod la Moilech, ve'echod l'shar avoida zara chayiv. Whether it's for the Moilech, or it's for another Avodah Zarah, you're equally chayiv. Rabbi Elazar b'Rab Shimon disagrees. Rabbi Elazar b'Rab Shimon oimer, la moilech chayiv. If one is ma'avir b'noi over the moilech, he's chayiv. Shaloi la moilech potter. But if it's not for the moilech, then he's potter. Now Rashi explains the machloikis as follows. According to the Tana Kama, that says that one is chayiv, whether he does this avoida to the actual Moilech, or he does this avoida to any other avoida zara, that's because he holds that the Moilech itself is an avoida zara. And since it's a worship, it's an avoida zara, one is chayiv, whether it's to the Moilech or to another avoida zara. But Rabbi Elazar b'Rab Shimon that holds that one is only chayiv if he does this ha'avoras b'noi, or zaroi, over the Moilech itself, but if it's not the Moilech, if it's a different Avodah Zarah, he's not Chayiv. That's because he holds that this Avodah is not Avodah Zarah. It's a Kishuf, it's a superstition, it's a Chayk of the Goyim, but it's not Avodah Zarah. So therefore, if one does it over the Moilech, the way the Torah describes, that there's a Chiyuv Misa, then he's Chayiv. If he does it in another Oifen, over another Avodah Zarah, then he would be Potter. However, we have to look at this more carefully. Because we just learned that this, that one is chayiv, when he does an Avodah Zarah, is only when it's either kedarka, either it is the derech of this Avodah Zarah, or if it's shaloi kedarka, but it's one of the four Avodahs that we mentioned, zivuach, nisuch, haktorah, v'hishtach avoya. Naniach that Moilech is an Avodah Zarah. So there's an Avodah Zarah called Moilech. But still, why would you be chayiv if you do that avoda zara, of that avoda of Moilech, to another avoda zara? It's not kedarka for that other avoda zara. The emes is that there's an even a greater question. If Moilech is an avoda zara, why do we need a pasuk b'chlau to tell me that Moilech is aser? Moilech is like any other Avodah Zarah. The din is that if someone is Oyver Avodah Zarah in the derech of that Avodah Zarah, he's Chayav Misa. What's special about Moilech if Moilech is an Avodah Zarah like any other? And because of this, Rashi himself explains in the Gemara, Daf Samach Dalet in Sanhedrin, that it must be that the Avodah of Moilech was not to be Ma'avir Benoi. Being Ma'avir Benoi over the Moilech was not Kedarkai, even for the Moilech. And therefore, we learn a tremendous halacha. We learn from this pasuk that the avoida of being Ma'avir Benoi is Chayev, even though it's Shalai Kedarkai. And this Tana of the Braisa would hold that not only are the four avoidas that we mentioned earlier, Zivuach, Nisuch, Haktorah and Eshtach Avoya Chayev, whether they're Kedarkai or they're Shaloi Kedarkai, but we can add to that list if someone is Ma'avir Benoi. Because in the Shoirish of the Halacha, by the actual Pasuk of Moilech, clearly it was Shaloi Kedarkai, because if it was Kedarkai, we wouldn't need a Pasuk at all. And from there we learn that the Avoida of Moilech, even though it's Shaloi Kedarkai, is Chayev, whether it's for the Moilech or for it's for another Avoida Zara. As a matter of fact, the Ramban in Parshas Kedoshim, Perek Chof Pasuk Hei, goes so far as to say that there is no Avodah Zarah called Moilech. That if you hold that Moilech is an Avodah Zarah, Moilech is a name for Avodah Zarah. Moilech is a lashon of Malchus, that a person is Mamlech, this thing, upon him. And someone who worships an Avodah Zarah In other words, that he's being mamlechit upon himself, because that's what Avodah Zarah is, and he does it in the way of being ma'avir zarei, he's chayav misa. So according to the Ramban, if you hold that Melech is an Avodah Zarah, it may not even be a set Avodah Zarah called Melech. It just means Avodah Zarah. Now that we have this akdama, we can go back to our Gemara. The Gemara tells us that ish ish ki asher yitein mizarei lamoylech includes goyim, that they're also muzhar on avodah zarah ki Yisrael. Now let's see. There's a din of avodah zarah, and we learn from the pasuk of Ayitzav Hashem Elokim al ha'adam that goyim are also mitzvah. It's one of the sheva mitzvahs b'nei noach. But that's all the avodahs that are mentioned in the Gemaras in Sanhedrin, the Avodas of Kedarka, or the Avodas of Shaloi Kedarka, the four big Avodas that we mentioned, Zivuach, Nisoch, Haktorah, and Hishtach Avoya. But says the Tura Yevin, without the Pasuk of Ish Ish, Asher Yitein Mizarei LaMoylech, I might have thought that the Moylech is different. Because the Moylech is not Kedarka, and it, not only is it not Kedarkai, it's not even similar to the other Avodas that are not Kedarkai. Because the Gemara in Sanhedrin says that Zivuach, Nisuch, and Haktorah are Avodas that imitate the Avodas Lefnim in the Beis HaMikdash. And Hishtach Avoya is an act of kavod to Avodah Zarah, so these are very, very strong reasons for them to be Asur, whether they're Kedarkai or they're Shalai Kedarkai. But the Avodah of Melech, which is not an avodas pnim, and it's not a derech kavod, it's just an avoda of shaloi kedarka that the Torah says that yidin are chayevin, mehecha teisi, that the sheva mitzvahs b'nei noach include even that chiddushtika oifen of avoda zara, which is the shaloi kedarka avoda of being ma'avir zara yala moilech. Zok the Turei Yevin. For that reason, we need a special drasha by the din of moilech. Ish ish asher yitein mizaroi lamoylech. Now the MS is that this teretz of the Turei Yevin is a little bit difficult to read in our Gemara. The Gemara says that the ish ish asher yitein mizaroi lamoylech is l'rabbi says hanochrim that they're muzar al birchas Hashem ve'al avoydeh zorah ki Yisrael. According to the Turei Yevin's pshat, we're not really learning from Ish Ish that Goyim are Muzer on Avodah Zarah ki Yisrael. That we know from Vayitzav Hashem Elokim al Ha'odam. The pasuk of Ish Ish Asher Yitein Mizarei LaMoylech is being marbe one specific Avodah called Moylech. I would have thought that the Gemara should say that L'Rabbi says Hanochem that they're Muzer al Birchas Hashem ve'al HaMoylech ki Yisrael, because it's not just the broad Avodah Zarah that we have a different pasuk for. It's a very specific halacha in Hilchas Avodah Zarah called Moylech. Perhaps we can be Meshane, the teretz of the Turei Yevin, in a way that the Gemara can flow more easily. The emes is that the Menchas Chinuch in Mitzvah Chav Vav is Medayek in a Rambam that perhaps the din that Goyim Amuzar and Avodah Zarah only applies to Avodahs that are Kedarka and does not apply to Avodahs that are not Kedarka. There was Makim to say that since we have one drasha of Ayitzav Hashem Elokim al Adam to include Goyim in the Isser of Avodah Zarah, maybe that's only true for the Iker Isser of Avodah Zarah, which is Kedarka. However, shaloi kedarka, perhaps only yidden are chayivin and not goyim. This is a suffix that the Menchas Chinuch has in understanding the Rambam. But we can borrow from that suffix, perhaps, and go back to the Turei Yevin and explain as follows. Perhaps the pasuk of ish ish asher yitein mizarei lamoylech is not coming merely to tell us that goyim are chayiv in the specific avoida shaloi kedarka of moylech. But perhaps without the riboy of ish ish by Moylech, I would have thought, like that suffix of the Menchas Chinuch, that Goyim Bechlal are not chayiv in Avodah Shalai Kedarka. But since, as we've shown, the Avodah of Moylech is an Avodah Shalai Kedarka, and the pasuk there by Moylech is Marba Goyim, We see from there that Goyim are chayev in all avoidis shaloi kedarkam. If they're chayev in Moilech, kol shekein they're chayev in the four avoidis of Nisuch, Haktora, Zivuach, and Ishtachavoya that we mentioned earlier. And perhaps in this way we can smooth out the Lashon that they're Muzharim al Birchas Hashem ve'al avoidis zara, because now it's talking about a broad section of the Hilchas avoidis zara that Goyim are chayev ki Yisrael. The Gemara then brings Shitas Rav Ashi that goes away from learning the Tam of Ein Darshan Ba'arayas B'Shloisha from a Pasuk, and rather learns it from a Svara. And the Gemara explains, Mai Ein Darshan Ba'arayas B'Shloisha, what do we mean when we say Ein Darshan Ba'arayas B'Shloisha? Ein Darshan B'Sisrei Arayas. It means that we can't Darshan what's called Sisrei Arayas. And the Gemara says a Svara. When two people are sitting in front of their Rebbe, so if the Rebbe is having a discourse, a conversation with one of the Talmidim, the other one will pay attention to the conversation. If a Rebbe is teaching three Talmidim, Chad Shokel Vitari Bahadi Rabbe, and one of them is having a Shakel Vitari with his Rebbe, the other two will discuss the Sugya amongst themselves. V'loyadi ma'ika omer rabbihu, they won't know what the Rebbe is saying. V'osu l'mishri isura ba'arayas, and that will cause them to be matir isurim in inyanei arayas. The Rambam in Perek Chof Beis Mehilchas Isurei Bia Halacha Yud Zayin brings this halacha kipshutai Ein Dorshin b'sisrei arayas b'shloisha, and he says the svara, which is the final tam given in the Gemara for this halacha. Interestingly, in the Torah and in Shulchan Aruch, we do not find this halacha mentioned. In no place does it say a limitation of Ein Darshan Ba'arayas B'Shloisha. This needs a little examination. Why is it that the Rambam wrote down the halacha, this Gemara, and the Torah and Shulchan Aruch omitted it? Let's look at what Sisrei Arayas is. Rashi says that Sisrei Arayas she'enon mifurashos. Sisrei Arayas are in yonei Arayas that are not mifurash in the psukim. Kigoin bitoy me'anusasoy ve'em chamov ve'em chamoisoy. Denafki b'meseches Sanhedrin midrasha. Bitoy me'anusasoy, someone's daughter from a woman he was ma'anis, or the mother of his father-in-law, or the mother of his mother-in-law, all three of these Isurim are not explicit in the Psukim, and they're darshan in the Gemara in Sanhedrin from Drashas. Therefore, these Inyanim are not just called Arayas, which would be the simple halachas of Arayas, but rather they're called Sisrei Arayas. These are nister, they're hidden, they're not beferish in the psukim, they're teirish abal peh. And it is on these inyanim that are teirish abal peh that the Gemara is concerned that a Talmud that wasn't fully paying attention may not remember the halacha properly. The Tosfos Rid gives a different explanation for what Sisrei Arayas is. The Tosfos Rid says that one who knows the halacha knows that there are kulois, tricks perhaps, tatzdiki he calls it, that one can use in Inyanei Kedushin to be Mekel in Hilchas Kedushin. And these are things that are Ein Ro'oi Legalois. It's not befitting to be Megala these things to Amaratzim, because Amaratzim may abuse, misunderstand, or distort these halachas. And therefore, Sisrei Arayas, according to the Tosfos Rid, doesn't mean that it's not beferish in the Psukim. It means it's roi to hide them. They're sisrei, they're hidden, because it's roi. They're the secrets of Arayas, the Hilchas Arayas, the Talmidei Chachamim, are not Megala. Now, the Darkei Moshe, which is the Ramos Pirish on the Tur, in Simen Reish Mem Vav, brings a Ra'aviyah that says that this halacha of Ein Darshan Ba'arayas B'Shloisha only applied in those days, in the days of the Mishnah. The Torah Shebaal Peh had not been written down. And since they were learning Baal Peh, So therefore, the halachas that are not beferish in the pasuk needed to be learned from a Rebbe, and it was dafka on these halachas that the Gemara, that the Mishnah is afraid, may have been distorted or misunderstood by the Talmidim. However, Bizman Azeh, says the Rav Yoh, that we have everything written down in the Mishnayos and the Gemara, so there's no longer such a sakana of Ein Dorshin B'Sisrei Arayos B'Shloisha. Now clearly, the Rav Yoh is understanding Sisrei Arayos like Rashi. And therefore, in a day like today, the Torah Sheval Peh has been written down in the form of the Mishnah and the Gemara, so there's no longer the sakana that the Talmidim will misunderstand it, because it's there beferish in black and white inside. However, if one learns, like the Tosfos Rid, that Sisrei Arayos is not Sisrei, meaning that it's not Torah Shebiksav, but rather Sisrei Arayos means that in the halachas of Arayos that are not ro'oi to be megalata amaratzim because of the complexity of these kulais, then it wouldn't make a difference if it was Bizman HaMishnah or Bizmanenu, the halachas would equally apply. Perhaps we can say that the Rambam understood the Taich of Sisrei Arayos like the Tosfos Rid, and Memela he brought the halacha kipshutai halacha lamaisa. But the Shulchan Aruch understood like Rashi, and Memela it's not brought in Shulchan Aruch of the Tor, this halacha of Sisrei Arayos, being that it is no longer Negeya of Bizman Hazeh. The Gemara at the end of the Daf brings Psukim that explain that it's usur for a person to be chayker, v'dayrish, to be shayel, what happened before the world was created. Tosfos says that this is included in what the Mishnah said, that it's usur to think about what happened ma'lifnim, which Rashi had said ma'lifnim means chutz l'mechitzas harakia l'mizrach, means outside of the world, but Tosfos says that ma'lifnim also means what happened beforehand. That to think about what happened before the Yom Rishon, before the word Bereishis, is Aser. And this is in addition to the din of the Mishnah of Loi B'maisa Bereishis B'Shnayim, that even the first days of creation, where it is mutter to learn and to teach, there are limitations that it has to be done B'Seser. And this idea that there are things that happened, and there are things in the Bria that are not ro'i to be chayker v'dayrish, while on the other hand, there are other areas in the Bria and other parts of Torah that is dafka a mitzvah and an adifus for a person to be chayker v'dayrish. This needs a little bit of clarifying. When do we say that there is an inyan to be chayker v'dayrish, and when do we say that there is no inyan, rather an iser to be chayker v'dayrish? The Mabit discusses these tzdadim a little bit in his Sefer Beis Elokim, in Perek Aleph of Shar HaYisoides, and he explains that there's a makim to say that it's not ro'i le'odam b'mashahu odam. It's not ro'i for a person being an odam to have a certain laziness and hisrashlus and not to be chayker v'derish to understand that which is a chiddush to him. And he brings the pasuk in Divrei Hayamim, Da es Elokei Avicha ve'ovdehu, that there's an inyan to know Hashem and to understand Hashem. So when do we say that there's an adifus and a mitzvah in the chakira and drisha that we should be shoyel? And when do we say that there's a makim to be meineya, that there's an iser for a person to be shoyel, ad kedei kach, that the Mishnah says, ro'i shaloi bali olam. We also find that there are two stages here. There's the stage of Kaidem Shanivra Ha'olam before Bereishis, where it's usur completely to be Shayel. And then there's the stage of after the word Bereishis, where there is an inyan to learn it and to teach it B'Seser, B'Hester, Loi B'Maisa Bereishis B'Shnayim. However, it's not usur Lagamri. And the understanding of these things begins with a pasuk in Mishlei. The pasuk says, Perek Chof Hei Pasuk Beis, Kvoid Elohim Haster Dover, Ukvoid Melochim Chakor Dover. The covet of Hashem, of an Elohim, is to hide the inyan, Haster Dover. And the covet of kings Malachim chakor davar is to investigate the inyan. Rashi says over there in Mishlei that the reference of kveid alekim haster davar is referring to our Mishnah and our sugya kegoin maisa merkava umaisa bereishis. The Malbim on the pasuk as well learns that kveid alekim haster davar, the word alekim is dafka. Kveid alekim, when you're dealing with inyanim elokiyim, things that are godly, things that are beyond the seichel of a mensch, something that's not possible for a human mind to understand, like, for example, things that are out of the zman and makam of this bria, over there the kavod is haster davar. Only when there's a capacity and a possibility for a person to understand, that a person is equipped with the seichel to be able to understand, over there there's a mitzvah and an inyan for a person to learn, to be da'es elokei avicha. But if the inyanim being looked into are such that the seichel ha'adam was simply not created to be able to contemplate those things, then adarabah, then kveid elokim haster davar. And the Mabit mentions that not only is it not an inyan to be chayker those things, but it's a tremendous chutzpah for a person to decide that with his puny brain, he would have the ability to be to understand these inyanim of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that are well beyond our seichel. In the Sefer Derech Chaim of the Maral, on the Mishnah of Asara Ma'amoreis Nivra Ha'olam, the Maral brings a famous Gemara in Megillah, Daf Chaf Aleph Amud Beis, that counts out that even though the Mishnah said that the world was created with Asara Ma'amoreis, if one counts, one will only find 9 times that it says Vayomer Elokim in Briyas Shemayim Va'aretz. And the Gemara answers that it's true, there are only 9 Vayomers, but Bereishis Nami Maimerhu, that first word in the Torah, Bereishis Bara Elokim, that's also one of the Ma'amoros. Frek the Maral on the Mishnah, if so that Bereishis is also one of the Ma'amoros, so why isn't it expressed as a Maimer? Why doesn't it say, Vayomer Elokim Yehi Shamayim Va'aretz? Just like by all the Ma'amoros, Vayomer Elokim Yehi Ur, Vayomer Elokim Tad Sheh Ha'aretz, let it say, Vayomer Elokim Yehi Shamayim. And for the Maral, according to our Gemara, that Mikivan, that what happened before the world was created, there's an Isser to contemplate, or to ask, or to discuss anything that happened before that, or what the Matzav was before the world was created. To say Vayomer Elokim Yehi Shamayim would be discussing an event that happened before the world was created. And we can't discuss events that happened before the world was created, and therefore the Rabbanim Shlom didn't write it in the Torah that way. The Torah just begins Bereishis, already with the beginning of the Bria. According to this, we can possibly understand what we say in the morning. In the beginning of Psukah de Zimra and Baruch Sha'amar, we say Baruch Oise Bereishis, Baruch Oimer Ve'Oise. Baruch Oimer Ve'Oise would be referring to the 9 Ma'amorois that start with Vayomer, but Baruch Oise Bereishis, which doesn't say Oimer Ve'Oise, it just says he was Oise Bereishis, because we don't talk about what happened before Bereishis. Ad kan, in the conversation about what happened before the world was created, that world before the world was created is so beyond our seichel that there's a complete iser. Kvayd Elokim Haster Davar tells us that there's a complete iser for a person to be shayel and dairish in that inyan. However, once Bereishis was said, and once Bereishis was written in the Torah that was given to us, there is makim for the seichel ha'adam to understand, and there is makim to be shayel and dairish from Bereishis even until Briyas ha'adam. However, the Gemara and the Mishnah tell us that the way that it's taught has to be done still in a derech of haster davar. And this we find that the Medrash Rabbah tells to the inyan of kveid alekim haster davar, even to the first few psukim of the Torah. The Medrash says, Reb Levi b'shem Reb Chama bar Chanina Omar, mitchilas ha-sefer va'ad kan, from the beginning of Bereishis until Vayichulu, Kvoid Eloikim Haster Dover. Until Vayechulu, that's Kvoid Eloikim Haster Dover. Mikan Va'elech, from here and on, after the first 6 days of creation, Kvoid Melachim Chakor Dover. Then it's already Kvoid Melachim that there's a mitzvah to be Chayker. The Maral, in the Hakdama to the Sefer Gvuras Hashem, explains that when we're dealing with Elohim, meaning HaKadosh Baruch Hu as a creator, Bereishis Bara Elohim, Vayomer Elohim, we're dealing with Bria, then the correct Hanhaga is Haster Dover. But when we're dealing with Melachim, we're dealing with HaKadosh Baruch Hu as a Melech, meaning that the world was created already, and now we're learning not about the Rabbeinu Shleilim's Bria, but about the Rabbeinu Shleilim's Hanhaga, there are no limitations, and Kvoid Melachim, Chakor Dover, the Maila is in the Chakira, and the Kavod is in the Chakira, and the Drisha of those in Yanim. What's the difference between these two Matzavim? Why is it that when we're in a matzav of Kvoid Elohim, it's appropriate to learn it in a derech of Hester, and when we're in the matzav of Kvoid Melachim, it's appropriate and a kavod to learn it b'derech Hakiru Drisha without Hester? So the Maral explains that the kavod of Hashem is when everything is b'shleimus. When things are complete, then it's a kavod to be chayker. And once Briyas Shemayim Va'aretz was completed, Vayechulu HaShemayim Va'aretz V'chol Tzava'am, so then we're dealing with a Dover Shalem, and then the Kavod is to be Chayker. But until the world was created, by definition, it wasn't Shalem, because it wasn't finished yet. And to be Chayker in an Inyan that's not yet complete, and therefore it's not in its Shlemus and its perfection, that's not a Kavod, and Kvod Elohim has their Dover. Similar to what Rashi says in our Sugya by Maisa Bereishis, Delav Oirech Ara Lefrusha Lehedya. It's not Derech Eretz to express it openly. Being that the world was not yet at its Shlemus, so it's not the greatest level of Kavod Shamayim, Zokta Maral, Kvod Elohim Haster Dover.
You have been listening to the Shiurim of Shas Illuminated. Shas Illuminated is a non-profit organization dedicated to broadening the learning of those studying the Daf worldwide. If you would like to make a donation or to dedicate a Daf or Masechta, please visit our website at shasilluminated.org or call 203-312-SHAS. You can also email us at shasilluminated@gmail.com.